Hey, son, Svejsan, it's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast, brought to you by Link Humans, your favorite employer branding agency. This week is all about EVP, Employer Value Proposition. Let's start the show. Maren Hogan, how are you?
Great, I'm happy to be here. How are you today?
Very good, thanks. Thank you for joining us out driving on the road, I think, although you have parked somewhere.
I have. Sorry for any background noise you might experience. Hopefully nobody honks at me.
Okay, so tell us about Red Branch Media and what you do there, please.
So Red Branch Media is a full-service marketing and advertising agency. We started working with a lot of tech vendors in the HR tech and recruitment space. And then as we gained some experience, we started partnering with other agencies and then even working on our own to build out employer branding propositions, employer value propositions, and employer branding and recruitment marketing campaigns for small businesses, large enterprises, global, and startups alike.
Great. And I wanted to speak about the employer value proposition today, so the EVP. So let's start with the question, what is an EVP?
So an employer value proposition, I feel like, is basically your overarching statement as to what you bring to the table as an employer to your employees. So I was recently asked a question like, does it stand for employee value proposition or employer value proposition? And I believe the answer is both, because you really want people to understand what each person is bringing to the relationship and what each person can anticipate getting out of the relationship. It's especially true when you really want those goals to be aligned.
And you kind of answered this, but why is it so important?
Well, I think it's important because as the nature of work changes, and I think that's something that everybody listening can agree on, that the nature of work is changing, the power balance is sort of shifting a little bit. You know, it used to be, at least in the States, that, you know, you went to a job, you had a job, you had that job your entire life, you were highly dependent on the company for everything from your paycheck to benefits, retirement, healthcare, everything that you can think of. And today, with a contingent workforce and the way that millennials and even Gen Xers are approaching work, they really want an employer who values what they value and who understands that their needs are just as important as the corporate needs. And companies are jumping on board because they realize that the happier their employees and the more valued they feel, the more productive they tend to be. And that translates to bottom line ROI.
Great. Okay. Well, I'll ask you more about ROI later, but how does EVP differ from USP, so unique selling points?
Yeah, so nobody's ever asked me that before, and I think it's a really interesting question. I'm sure you've heard a lot of people speaking at many conferences about the fact that your employer brand and your consumer brand should be linked and aligned, mm-hmm. and that we should make sure that, you know, especially if you're a consumer brand, period, there are going to be people who apply for your jobs that may later on or have in the past purchased your products. And so I think they need to be aligned. The difference is USP is what you're offering to your consumers, the people who purchase your product. So, you know, let's say it's a washing machine, let's say you're Samsung. It's like, you know, reliability and dependability and high tech and all this other stuff. Whereas the EVP tends to be more like, here's what we're offering our internal customer, AKA our employee. So I think they should be aligned, but they can be very, very different. And I would caution anybody from saying our USP should direct our EVP, simply because you can't make your outward promise to consumers match your inward promise to employees without a whole lot of work. And usually people already have a culture. They already have a promise that they're making or breaking. So I would align them, but be careful not to overlap too much.
Okay. That's interesting, because I spoke to a potential client today, and they are basically a startup with about 10, 12 people. And they were talking about, do we need an EVP? And in this case, my counsel was that I don't think so. At that size of a company, it's more important to have a good USP so that people buy into the leadership and to the products and services and so on. But I think when you reach a certain size, you have to think about talent more strategically and develop an EVP. So long-winded question, but what size of company needs an EVP, you think?
I would say you talk about 10 to 12, and that's where Red Branch Media itself was not too long ago. Mm-hmm. And what happens is, now we're about double that, but what happens is your EVP sort of develops naturally as you learn sort of what you're already giving people. So we recently went through something that helped us define our values. I think an EVP is kind of necessary when you get into starting to manage performance. So it affects a lot of things down the road, whether it's compensation models, performance management, retention, recruiting. All of those things are affected by the EVP. However, I would say your same counsel is important. They're going to see what their EVP is soon enough anyway. I would tell them to... the answer to your question is about 15-20, and the answer to their question is, you know, just keep an eye on it. Don't be ignorant of the fact that you are actively now, as your company is growing, developing an employee value proposition. And I'll give you just a quick example of how we saw that happen at Red Branch Media, where it became very clear very quickly, even when there were just, you know, 7 or 8 of us, that one of the values was going to be accountability. That's just a huge value within our corporation, our company, because they are accountable to me, my employees are, and I'm accountable to them. We have issues with various clients or vendors or anything like that.
Yeah, okay. Right, and if we look at the EVP, how do we go about extracting this? Do you have a step-by-step approach, perhaps?
We do have a step-by-step approach. I will say that there are a lot of really good models out there. Mm-hmm. We've used models from all of the big sort of thinkers to help our clients when they want to develop an EVP, because in some cases it'll be a startup like the one that you just mentioned. So we have to go in and talk to each of their employees. We have to talk to leadership at the company and say, okay, what do you think the values are? Then we turn around and ask the same question of employees. What do you think the values are? So that's one approach. Another approach might be a large corporation that has existed for a very long time and is looking to move into maybe new areas. I'm doing a case study around that shortly and in SourceCon to say, hey, you know, what works in the Midwest may not work, you know, on the coasts or what have you. So that's another model that we sort of follow. And then there's a third model, which is to say, okay, we've never paid very much attention to employer brand. We know we need to. We have a problem. This is usually there's an issue within the organization, high turnover or, you know, bad reviews or whatever. And then we take a step by step. It's more of a tactical approach. We do the surveys and we do the sort of anecdotal talks, but then we make sure to also start improving things tactically so they can see movement. Because one of the big issues when people start tackling their EVP or their employer brand is that they don't see enough movement quickly enough, and then they abandon the project, leaving employees even more embittered and frustrated.
Oh, okay. All right. And you mentioned there are a few good models out there. Which ones? What's your top three models?
I can send them to you. I know we've recreated the ones that we particularly like. There's one that Brett Mishington put out not so long ago that we have within our deck, with all credit due to Brett. We have another that we found from Universum, and they have a couple of different models. And then the third one, unfortunately, we found it on ERE and we rebuilt it with attribution to the original author, but the person's name escapes me at the moment. I apologize.
Okay, thanks for that. Right, so we've got lots of Googling to do. You mentioned a mistake to make, not getting enough movement there. What are some of the other typical pitfalls you see companies doing?
Another typical pitfall, I would say, is only considering the white-collar headquarters opinions when you're mm-hmm. rebuilding your employer brand. This is particularly true in manufacturing or industrial or even some companies like that have like pharmaceuticals. So we only think about the office jobs and not the scientists or the foremen or the plant supervisors. And those people really are the line managers. They're the ones who are out there doing a big chunk of the work that, again, affects your bottom line. It's not just sales or marketing or accounting or HR. And so often when I go in to survey people or when Red Branch, you know, wants to line up anecdotal interviews, I'll get a lot of white collar, high level people. And that's great. We do want their perspectives. Because traditionally, they've been there quite a long time, and they have a unique historical long term view. but it's also really important to get, you know, what does the receptionist think? How is the associate branch manager doing? Like, those are the kinds of things that are also important to consider. So I'd say that's another mistake. If I had to pick a third mistake, I would say not anticipating, I kind of alluded to this earlier, not anticipating that a successful brand, a successful employer brand that's built in a highly regional area will translate exactly the same way in other areas. And so people tend to think, oh, we've got a great brand, our people love us, you know, it's everyone's dream in this area to work for this company, and now we're going to expand in this other place, and we're going to use the same playbook. That's usually a disaster waiting to happen. And that's why we use candidate personas quite strongly when we develop an employer branding plan. Now, the EVP itself, the overarching piece, that can go over all three of your locations, or 15 or 500. But the actual plan playbook does need to be changed a touch, I would say, when moving regions or changing offices or opening new plants or whatever.
Yep. Okay. That makes great sense. Right. So you alluded to this earlier. ROI. How can we measure return on investment on a good EVP?
Well, I don't think you can measure return on investment on a good EVP. An EVP is by itself, you know, records. Like, do you have any records on a record player or something?
So that was a long time ago. Yes.
So the middle part of the record, it tells you the name of the record and like all the songs on the record. But it's not really playable, right? So the needle only goes to that little space. That's kind of what the EVP is, right? Like, it tells you what we're doing. It makes a promise, but it's the employer branding campaigns and marketing that actually makes that happen, and right? So managers have to make that happen. So, but to answer your question with employer brand instead of EVP, I would say retention numbers and hiring numbers. If those aren't changed, those bottom line, you know, rear ends in seats, employees that are happy and engaged — I wouldn't say happy and engaged are synonyms, but employees that are engaged, employees that are sticking around, those are the numbers that I would truly measure employer brand by. And I really honestly think everyone should.
Okay, good. What companies could you list that's got good EVPs that you think we could all learn from?
Oh man, that's a really good question. Well, okay, so I will tell you a company that I feel has a good EVP is American Airlines. Mm-hmm. And I say this simply because you asked the thing about the USP, and of course, you know, people complain about airlines all the time, and they're always ticked off because this is late and that's delayed and they lost my bag. But what you can see from the employees on the inside is that they really, really feel valued, appreciate where they work. I would say that, again, I feel like I'm just naming places where people that I know work, particularly in employer brand. But it seems like, Nike is another great place, that really takes care of their people, that really makes them feel valued, and, focuses on really trying to bring that employer brand home. Shoot, there was one other one that I had in the back of my mind.
I was just thinking about, is it Southwest Airlines? Do they have an interesting USP? Do they also have a good EVP, or is it all one?
No, I would say there are very few times. There was a kerfluffle two or three years ago where you heard about an employee being kind of ticked off at Southwest. But literally in all the times that it's been part of my presence and that I've heard presentations from people that work there and talked to people that work there, people have been extremely happy, extraordinarily happy to go to work. So I would say that is a very excellent example. And then I also really like an employer brand that's not at all flashy, but really treats their workers right, is Aldi. It's a chain of supermarkets. They also own Trader Joe's, and I'm sure that they also treat their Trader Joe's people very wonderfully. But, you know, silly small things like their register workers can sit down, and they're paid a fair and equitable wage, and they're always sort of willing to help. And that really does translate into when I, as a consumer, go in there, you get a really great feeling of these people are happy to be here. They're not overworked. They're not overburdened. I would compare and contrast that with, say, a Walmart, where it feels very different when you walk into the store.
Where employees are not allowed to have chats, apparently.
Right, exactly.
Although I've seen that happening. But that's interesting because Aldi over here, and I think it's the German supermarket chain, they are fairly known here for being really low budget and no frills. Or maybe they have a slightly different positioning over in the States.
No, they are known the same way in the States. It's just the way that they treat their employees, which I think is fascinating because, you know, as a consumer, you would go there to get quite, you know, save or whatever, but it doesn't look like that they're taking that out of their employees' pockets or work life or work product.
Great. Okay. All right. So if we look into the crystal ball, is there anything happening for EVPs or EVP development over the next few years, do you think?
Yeah, I think that CSR and corporate philanthropy are going to really start to make a big difference in EVP, even more so than they have in the last couple of years. People really are increasingly engaged in both the political world and the humanitarian world, and they have causes that matter to them. And I believe that, you know, those are the people that are out there working, right? We all have jobs. So I think that that's going to be a big part of a company's EVP, not just what are you doing for your customers and what are you doing for your employees, but what are you doing collectively for the world? So there's a great concept of shared impact. Of course, I can't remember the study author's name, but I'll send that to you as well on what great things that corporations can achieve when they work together on a specific cause. So I think that's going to be a big one. I'd like to come up with a couple of other models because you mentioned step by step earlier when you asked about models. And I think that most of the ones that I've seen have been sort of circular in nature, like the record that I said, you know, there's the EVP in the middle and that affects everything around it, which is true. But for smaller companies or for companies who don't have, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to give to a company to spend 3 months developing their EVP and another 12 months developing the plan, I think we're going to start looking at the value of not just strategic thinking, which is incredibly valuable, we should never replace, but also what are the tactical things that we're going to put in place alongside this so stuff actually changes. And I think people are going to demand, just like with social recruiting back in the day, people were like, oh, you know, it's a branding exercise. We don't really need to measure it. And other people were like, we've got to measure it. It's super important. Now we can measure it. And I think employer brand is going to get closer and closer to being, you know, we're going to have that demand. So show me the money, basically.
Yeah, makes complete sense. Okay, great. Where could we learn more about Red Branch Media and where can our listeners connect with yourself, Maren?
Well, you can, of course, go to redbranchmedia.com, which is our website. We've also got our blog on there with tons of employer branding resources and all kinds of stuff to help you out. And then if you want to find me, I'm really easy to find. I'm at Maren Hogan on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. So that's MarenHogan.
What happened to marinated.com?
You know what? My team, as large as it's gotten, they were like, hey, this isn't just Maren anymore. Our writing is on here. So Marinated still does point to our blog, but I'm going to put Marinated is going to someday be home to writing if I ever have time to do it outside of Red Branch.
Fantastic. Maren Hogan, thank you for your time.
All right. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, I hope that was useful. Everything Maren and I discussed will, of course, be in the show notes article, and that includes all the models that she was talking about and some of those case studies. You'll be able to find the article at employerbrandingpodcast.com. Now, did you know that just like Maren, here at Link Humans, we help companies with EVP development? As long as you have more than 12 employees, of course. Check out more at linkhumans.com, or if you'd like to send me an email, just ping it to me at jorgen@linkhumans.com, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have. That's it for this week. Many thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to catching up with you next time. Hej då!
What do you get when you cross an elephant and a rhino?
No idea.
Elephino.